Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Gotta change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Come on.
Glory for this awesome, this wonderful, this magnificent evening, an evening that so many of us refer not only the evening but the entire day as a day that God created for us to understand and know what love truly means. And when we think about February 14th, we think about what that day means to so many of us. I just hope and pray that we all understand and know what it really and truly means to be able to express and show love. When I think about love, I think about 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, where we talk about love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love. And I just only hope, pray that we all are operating in that kind of love, not only just today, as we refer to as Hallmark might want us to believe, of Valentine's Day, the day of lovers. And let's not get it twisted. Today is not just those that might be a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend kind of love. It goes out for love throughout the body, whether it's a sibling, a mother, a father, children, friends. I just thank God that we do think about love more today, for the most part, than we do any other day of the year other than one of our special occasions. And I just pray that as we get a jump start and learn and read all of these wonderful things about love that's out there today, that we will allow it to go and be with us throughout the remaining of this year. Therefore, it's always with us. That would be my only wish, hope, and desire, so that it allows us to respond in a more loving way. It allows us to operate in a love in which we know God desires for us to invest our time and do, because we know God is love. And if we want to be like him, we have to in turn be love. I thank God for your presence tonight. My name is Tammy Storr. We'll be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. Just thank God for your presence. Thank God for all that you've had an opportunity to do throughout this day. I pray it was productive. I pray that you were on task to do all that you desired to do today. I know I fell short just a little bit of my to-do list, but I just pray that God give me another opportunity to be amongst the living tomorrow to be able to finish what I didn't get done today. I want to just once again thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, joining us tonight. As always, we think about you so often when we think of the topics as we speak about tonight of leveraging accomplishments of oneness. And when you think about that, when you're leveraging, you're not just only depending on yourself, but usually someone else, that we all have different accomplishments that we can bring to this wonderful thing that we call oneness. And so tonight we just hope that we can dig into it a little bit more for you, help you out a little bit, and allow you to continue to go year after year, day after day, to be able to be in this thing called oneness and be in so much love and operating in the manner in which I just read out of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, thank you for these powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. I pray, Lord God, that you touch them one by one. You know what they stand in need of. I pray for every relationship that you have put together thus far. I pray that your divine intervention will be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch, that we will all recognize that none of us are perfect. We're striving to be more perfect like you, Lord God. But we recognize, we know when we understand that there's still so much work that we need to do here on this earth. And so in the process of being the best spouse that we can be, thank you for working with us day in and day out and throughout the day, Lord God, to make us the best spouse on this side of heaven that we can be, to experience the oneness that you spoke about in Genesis 2:24. I pray tonight for this awesome, wonderful man of God that I have the privilege and the honor of calling my husband. I pray for Minister Jesse tonight. I pray that as he comes forward, Lord God, through simplicity and understanding for all of us, that he will bring a firm word in season for us, Lord God, that you place on his heart that we can learn from and be able to share with others, Lord God, to help make a difference in this thing that we call marriage and marriage is to be. I thank you as always, Father God, for giving us this privilege and the opportunity to ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our mouthpiece, to come and go with us and be by our side and help us display through words everything that you desire for us to share on today. Bless every one of us, Lord God, as we continue to grow and as we continue to study to show ourselves approved. Let us be, Lord God, the willing vessel to share with others the good and great news that has been shared and departed in us as well. So let us go out and be a blessing to somebody else, Lord God, so that we can, Father God, help somebody else be joyful on this day and days to come. I just want to say thank you for hearing this prayer and every prayer, Holy Spirit, as you go and walk with us throughout our call. Not only Minister Jesse and I, but any individual that desires to speak as they press 1 on their phone and they're placed in the host queue, that they have an opportunity to speak and you have an opportunity to minister through them as well. And so let them come forward with simplicity and understanding and share, Lord God, some of their lifelong experiences, Father, with their soulmate that you bless them with. As always, I just want to say thank you for this and every day that you give us to honor you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, hallelujah. The highest praise we can make available to the Most High. Hallelujah. So we thank God and praise God for this opportunity to be here this evening. Another great day. Another I Am In Love day. And led by the likes of Hallmark, Walmart, and the former Kmart. All want your money. It's estimated, I don't know if you think about this sometimes, that consumers will have spent almost $24 billion on this Valentine's Day 2022, which is up from the $22 billion spent in 2021. So it may have a little inflation there. But Valentine's Day spending is only surpassed by the winter holidays and Mother's Day. So this is a big thing. I remember briefly today going into a store, and I won't give them free advertisement, but I was going into a store, and they had all of these flowers just lined up, knowing that sooner or later, before the day was done, somebody would be coming in there and buying up those flowers for their wives or fiancés or significant others or whatever, maybe for the husbands, who knows. But why is it that so many of us will go out and invest so much money, yet some say find so few returns for so much effort spent? And we have a theory that we believe answers this age-old question. And I will say we have conducted an unscientific but qualitative analysis, and we have concluded that the accomplishments one gain in oneness, sustain oneness, for every day is a day of Valentine, is that you will achieve far more than what you achieve or what you may have achieved years ago, even this year, when you're just out trying to focus on one day. I guess what we're saying is to make things happen, it takes more than one day of activities. As a matter of fact, the accomplishments of oneness are so powerful, they far outweigh any flowers you may have shared on this day. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't. You should. But we're saying that whatever takes place, it should be a day that, like any other day. For example, Tim and I, we started our celebration a few days ago, and we've had a great time. We had an opportunity to go out and actually have a business affair, but where we were able to spend the evening with our twins and also with their dates for the evening, fiance for Jesse and a good friend for Jessica. And it was a great time, a celebration. Had a chance to see a lot of people, and there was a festive mood, and there was a conversation of Valentine's going on even there, even though those words may not have been uttered. In addition, you may have invested in a bunch of food and drink that you may have already, or you may be planning on imbibing to celebrate this day. I know some of you, and especially some of the men, myself included, you may have sometimes purchased some chocolates, because you happen to like chocolates, and sometimes you may be so lucky that your significant other, they really don't like chocolates, but they like to receive them as gift. And so you don't mind buying them because you're going to eat some of them, unless you have made a commitment, like some of the brothers have made commitments with us, that we are no longer for the next 4 months. We're not going to eat anything 4 hours prior to going to bed unless there's some fruit, perhaps some nuts, water, things of that nature. But whatever it may be, you can also, I throw that little tidbit out there, join us for the next 4 months and not eat anything 4 hours before you go to bed. Increase your water. Start your day off with a glass of cold water, perhaps. And if you have a need to eat something prior to going to bed, make it something like some fruit and something like some nuts that would be easily digested. Some of you may have been like some of those that we hear. You go to a movie. You may have gone to a movie over the weekend. You may be watching one right now. And I understand that that could also be a very costly affair, simply going out to a movie. We're not saying any of these things have any problems whatsoever. But what we're saying is that they should be incorporated and just part of what you do, that you don't need, again, Walmart to tell you how to treat your better half, how to always walk in oneness. Maybe you have some special gifts that for whatever reason, again, you seem even more motivated when you hear people on television talking about giving gifts to someone else. Why do you need to be motivated by an external factor? You should be intrinsically driven to do whatever it is you do. Where you're having Valentine's 365, 24/7. Maybe there's a special place. You may have spent the night, maybe even this weekend, or maybe some of you are really romantic. You have a plan that you're going to go and you're not going to even spend the evening at home. You're going to go out somewhere and you're going to check it out for that special person in your life. And, of course, there may be a special event that you all plan on attending that may capture family or it may capture friends. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to do something different. And when you do something different, that we're going to have a great opportunity to make sure you see everything that's needed. We just praise God for that. Because, see, there's great satisfaction in seeing your dreams manifest in your reality. And perhaps this is what makes oneness, this is what makes oneness more fulfilling and rewarding when you reflect on this so-called love day. There's no such a thing to where someone could say, you know, because of this day. I've heard some people say that they're so excited because now they're going to have an opportunity to get some flowers, or like I say, get some chocolate, or go to dinner, or whatever. I mean, it should not take a day. It should not take a holiday to get us to be motivated about doing something for each other. It should not happen. See, Sammy, you know, I surmise that, as stated earlier, and I believe this, that married people, those in oneness, accomplish more and manifest more through their lives than perhaps we sometimes even realize. As we all reflect back, even so far on 2022, on this, you know, now you're in the 6+ weeks into the year, and see how fast and how swift things are changing everywhere. All of the existing and emerging plots from nations, wars and rumors of wars. We hear what's going on over in the other part of the world. Some of it we should believe and some of it we should be suspect of. But from governments against governments, from individuals focusing on some form of conflict as the means to achieve their stated goals. Why is it so difficult for all of us just to play the role of peacemakers and be called true sons and daughters of God? Why is it so difficult for us to understand we cannot focus on the weakness of our spouses if we are ever to achieve oneness? See, we believe intuitively. We appear more drawn to conflict as a means of achieving dominance and or leverage in the conflicts we experience in general and especially in marriage. Now, we know we can look back on the history of this United States of America, and we can see how some may come up with the idea that your dominance and your ability to inflict your power or pain on the individual you say you love has been those things that we've learned from many, many who come before us. Some just didn't know any better. They have always seen that power being formed. But there's a very, very key thing that we want to really emphasize. Most of the surveys in marriages, on marriages in general, and especially marriages specific to America, they have concluded that oneness or being married or coming together does not eliminate disagreement and or conflict, and this should not be a surprise to any of us. Let me share what we believe really is the main point of us coming together tonight. The intent of oneness is not to eliminate conflict or other forms of disagreement. Its intent is to grow spouses in the art of effective compromise, where oneness skills can be leveraged to extract a greater achievement as spouses. I think I need to read it again. The intent of oneness of marriage is not to eliminate conflict or other forms of disagreement. It is to grow spouses in the art of effective compromise, where oneness skills can be leveraged to extract a greater achievement as spouses, or better than one. Oneness, we believe, can be leveraged to achieve more operating as a collective versus simply operating as a single unit. Now, this statement is based on the broad spectrum of interrelational possibilities that exist in oneness. Because, see, once you come into oneness, there are so many other things that will come into play. In almost every activity or decision-making possibility, the use of knowledge extraction is applied against a common need for the most effective end result. Think about it. Many of the so-called disagreements and or conflicts is simply the navigation of blending life experiences into a more powerful reality over the course of time. And you see, this integration of reality over time becomes more powerful when we as couples learn how to extract its value for the benefit of oneness. Now, see, we believe, and we discussed it, Tammy, that this lays the foundation of what oneness is designed to achieve for all of us. Instead of thinking, feeling, and believing our life experiences make us so or more unique, we should, we believe, instead think of what we desire to achieve after submitting our time, our energy, and our resources to oneness. And that brings us down, really, to some of the examples that we want to share this evening. What do we expect to accomplish, and what do we expect to achieve when we make that determination that we're going to come together? And some will be different, but most will end up dealing with some of the areas that I'm going to ask Tammy to share with us. But before she shares with us, I want to just take a little pause. It is Valentine's Day, and I know still so many of us really get, and there's no problem, I'm not saying it's a problem, we really get into the concept, Valentine's and the whole concept of being romantic and all of that, and all beautiful, don't get it twisted now. We all believe that, we all love that, but I'm going to play this short song and perhaps all of it, and then when we come back from this song, I'm going to ask my queen to just share a little bit about some of these things that take place, some of the examples that really we should be striving to achieve. Because when we get married, we should do it from a standpoint of an expectation of change, that marriage will change us, and it will change us for the better. We'll be right back. Here we go.
Difference to love you, girl. You're my weakness. You change my world. Share my life. Trust in me. You're all I want. Everything I need. Ooh, baby. Makes any difference. I give you all my heart. Girl, my son. Anywhere you are. Maybe I'm a dreamer. You're still my queen. Your love's like a river, girl. It's running right through. And trust in me,
trust,
baby. You're all I want. Hey, girl, yeah, everything I need. Hey, babe,
you're my dream and my joy. My heart belongs to you, girl. I sat down one day and I wrote this song, 'cause I need you in my world.
Share my life, baby.
Share.
Hey, girl, you can trust in me, girl.
Trust,
baby.
Me, girl.
You're all I want.
You're all,
baby.
Amen. I mean, my goodness, Jesse, you set the stage for so many tonight, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful that God has allowed us to be here on such a special night as we speak about oneness. When I think about Kim and I think about those lyrics and think about the topic tonight, it's enough to make us want to still continue to say how much we want to share our life with each other. We want to trust each other. And that we need everything about one another. And so I just pray that as we continue to dream and as our joy continues to flow, you know, as our heart continues to belong to one another, that God will give us an opportunity to operate in this thing that we refer to as oneness. And in particular, as we're speaking tonight, we're speaking about leverage and how to leverage the accomplishments of oneness. It brings me to a few things, Jesse, that I definitely would like to share. I want to say thank you for the sharing that you provided us. I just want us to understand that when you leverage something and you promote something, especially oneness in your marriage. You're giving thought to whatever it is that you're doing. You have to make sure that you put yourself on a high standard, on a high platform to live up to, because God put us together strategically as husband and wife. And if he took the amount of time that he needed to take to make sure he was picking out our perfect soulmate, we all know that there has to be some work in it for us as well. If he put work into it, we must. And there are just a few things that we want to speak about as it relates to the examples. And before I get to the examples, just a couple of things I wanted to share is the fact that we understand and know that if we do our part to do things to help our relationship stay in the oneness that we need it to be, to leverage what we have as an individual that will come together collectively as one in oneness. Because I know there's things that Jesse does that he does way better than I do. There's specific things that I know I do better than he does. And as we leverage our gifts and our talents and the things that we're able to do in our relationship, it only allows us to be in a position to do even greater things together as one. And I encourage you, never feel, think, and believe that one is better than the other. One may do certain things better than the other, but I won't say that in a relationship one is better than the other. You are equally yoked, and God has strategically put you together to use your gifts and talents. So a couple of things that you can do is worship together. You both can do that. You can come together. You can do what you know you need to do to help stabilize your relationship. Then one of the things that I know Jesse loves to do, and he has taught me to do it better and better each year that I'm with him, is to read more. I read, but not near as much as he reads. That's one of his favorite pastimes. Never has been one of my favorites, but I have always done it enough to do what I need to do to study, to learn the things that I'm working on at that moment. But he is teaching me to read more. And sometimes he'll say, we're just going to shut everything down, and we're going to have a moment, and we're going to read, or we're going to have a moment, and we're just going to write in our journals. And I love that about his leadership that he does with us. So read together a little bit more. Sit down and write in your journal. Take walks together. As you take walks together, it gives you an opportunity to be able to learn a little bit more about each other. It gives you an opportunity to just kind of relax out in God's beautiful nature. And then some of you may say, you know, I really enjoy cooking, and I would love it even more if I had my spouse in the kitchen with me and enjoyed that activity together. And because when you do that, you take ownership, and you want to make sure that you have the opportunity to be able to cook healthy food so that you'll be around for long lives. So these are just some things. There's so many more that I can choose, but I just wanted to, before I got into some of these are things that you can do to bring more oneness together in your relationship. And Jesse, when I think about all of these activities which will help us accomplish true oneness in our marriage, I can't help but to think about people that are around us, because we all know that it doesn't matter that when God strategically puts you together as husband and wife, he didn't say he was putting you together to just forget about everybody else. He's putting you together to be a strong unit so that you can increase how you are as a friend. So one of the areas of examples that I know, Jesse, that as I think about how do we really look at the various relationships that God has us in, and one example would truly be friendship. And friendship is so important, and one of the things that we got to understand is we must all, I don't care who you are, seek ways to support our spouse and to grow as individuals. And if you have a really good friend and you call that really good friend, and maybe be something that you may not understand, and it's not always the fact that you want to lean and depend on your spouse all the time, because sometimes you might need a friend to lean and depend on and ask them different questions to help you open up your mind and help you open up your thoughts to allow you to get to the place you need to get to that has caused a little disturbance. But remember, a little disturbance is not going to cause you any issues in your marriage if you continue to work with it. So the question is, Are you able and have you been able to select good friends? That would truly be the question. And the reason why that question is so important is because if you choose strong, godly friends, they're not going to steer you in the wrong direction when you go to them with any questions. But we got to understand and know that God knows what we need already before we even know that we need it. And he will strategically put people in our lives for us to go to. So don't discount your friends. When I think about parents, we want to be great parents ourselves. And most of us can look back down over our lives and see that our parents were great parents. They might not have been flawless. There may have been some challenges. All of us, I wish we can all say that we were perfect parents. We made no mistakes. But I know I personally can say that if I had it to do over, there would be quite a few things that I know I personally would do. But then when I look back down memory lane and I think about all of the things, Jesse, that my mother instilled in me, my father has instilled in me, it allows me to look back over my life and know that that's who molded me. That's who made me to be who I am today. So I never, ever discount the fact that it is important for parents to be a part of that example, that part of that group that's going to help you leverage and help you promote the oneness that we need in our marriage. They're going to encourage us in a very positive way. When I think about what else that would be so important that we would need, Jesse, in our marriage, one of the things that I will truly say for me that I know that I cannot do without, and that would be understanding and knowing that activities of engagement is important to me. And that is so important because we want to expand our individual boundaries. And so we have to know that with the activities of engagement, what are you willing to do? Are you willing as a spouse to step outside of your comfort zone to learn a new skill, to learn something new that will complement your spouse? If you're not, I think it's time for you to go back to the Word of God and be able to ask God, what do you need to do? Because God will want us to complement our spouse. There are times when I may have an activity that I need to do, and I'll say to Jesse, we're scheduled to go and be a part of someone's, you know, special occasion, whether it's a baby shower, whether it's a wedding, or just any function that I may have been invited. And because I'm invited, they always want most of the time to bring your spouse. And normally when there is an activity that we must engage in, I normally always am in an agreement with my husband when he needs me to be by his side as, again, his helpmate that God spoke about early on in Genesis. But when I ask him, he gives me the same respect. And so I know there are times when there's certain things as a spouse you may not want to do, but it really doesn't matter if you're doing it knowing you're doing it out of love for your spouse. And when you realize, even when you think about, you know, how am I supposed to be or what am I supposed to do? Well, Ephesians 4, 2 and 3 tells us, it says, with all humility and gentleness, Jesse, it tells us, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because how many of us know that if we grumble about a time that a spouse wants us to go and be by their side and go to an activity with them, that if we have a grudging spirit and we really don't want to go and we're not supportive, there may come a time that they stop asking you. And then when they stop asking you, that becomes an issue in your marriage. And that's what we try to prevent. One of the things that we want to do is recognize, know, and understand when we ask about Colossians 3:14, the perfect one. It says, and over all these virtues, put on love. We've been talking about love today. It's all about love, because love, as we speak about it in this scripture, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And so when you may not want to do something, but you put on love and you do it anyway, you're going to have perfect unity going forward in that activity and doing the things you need to do and being able to receive from individuals, whether it be your friends, whether it be parents, whether it be your spouse, whomever it may be, and an example of how you know that you can use these people to leverage the oneness that we know God put together in your marriage. There's so many ways that we can do it, so many opportunities that God gives us. The question is, are we a willing vessel to go outside of the box, to think a little different, to be a little bit more creative in order for us to understand and know what we need to do to leverage the accomplishment of oneness? And one of the things that I will leave, Jesse, with our listening audience that I think is very important. One of the things as I think about this thing when we're leveraging accomplishments of oneness, it is so important for us to know we as an individual want to make sure that we have an opportunity to do the things that God has created us to do. We have to understand and know what we must do. Song of Solomon, I would love to leave with you, chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. As a seal upon your heart, the heart is key, love is key, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. It flashes, our flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. So the most important thing is that seal upon your heart, that love that is stronger than death. If we understand and know that, it will give us a jump start on how to make sure that God has great things in store for all of us if only we do our part to put action along with everything else that we desire in life. If we do it, then we will recognize, we will understand how to leverage the accomplishment of oneness in our marriage because we're all unique in our own ways. So I pray that this helps our listening audience. I pray, Jesse, that we continue to do our part as individuals to continue to leverage what we know each of us has in order to accomplish the oneness we desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Powerful, powerful. The key takeaway being you should expect when you come to that oneness proposition to be friends, to be lovers, to be parent, to improve your standard of living, to have travel flexibility, to be able to engage in even activities that you may not be comfortable with because you'll learn to be comfortable, and that you become a living example through transparency of the level of maturity that you have gained as you accomplish these realities in oneness. So as we close out this Valentine's Day of 2022, and I know at 8:48, some of you may be saying, we're just getting ready for the evening. Beautiful. But let us share the following deeds as proof of concept that you desire to be guilty of this each and every day. And let us remember that oneness is not a one-sided reality. Instead, oneness is about a bilateral contractual agreement that commits two different individuals to a lifetime of service and ministry backed by love. And we go back to that main point again that we said earlier. The intent of oneness is not to eliminate that conflict or other forms of disagreement, because when you have that, it may indicate this is an area where you need to grow, where you need to expand. Its intent is to grow all of us in the art of effective compromise where oneness gives. You know, that's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They can be leveraged to extract a greater achievement as spouses. You got to keep that in mind. It doesn't mean that you're going to come together and all of the disagreements that you ever had or all of the things are going to always go your way. That's not oneness. Oneness is understanding that need to grow, that need to understand. Two people are coming together from different backgrounds, different cities, different parents, different experiences in life. And part of your responsibility as that spouse is to be used by God to help your spouse grow, develop, and become everything God ordained from the beginning. So you may ask yourself the question, what can we do perhaps differently than what we haven't been doing? And if whatever we say here, if you've been doing it, look at it as confirmation. If you haven't, perhaps you may want to integrate it in your strategy for oneness in 2022. Look for ways to proactively, positively love your spouse through your word. We know from reading scripture that, you know, words are very powerful. Like that two-edged sword, it can cut, build up, it can tear down. And we know that one spoken word in the negativity can sometimes destroy everything that's been put together for that moment, for that day, for that week, for that month, for that year. So look for ways to positively and proactively love your spouse through your words. Now, brothers, we know that you got to have a little game for your wife. They love to hear things. They love to be told things. So there are sometimes you just cannot be quiet. Number two, look for ways to proactively and positively love your spouse through your actions, the things that you do. And sometimes it's not big, big things that you've got to do. The little things that you've got to do. You know, sometimes, to give you an example, people will say, they come by a visit, and they'll say, wow, well, you just get up, you're washing the dish. Now, mind you, this is 2022. And I said, well, yeah, it's no big deal. I'm just being of service, you know, to everybody, to the household, to my wife, to everybody. But it's something that through actions, that may seem simple, but those are actions. And where sometimes people say, I'm never going to do anything like that. You never know. If you do things that you may perhaps think you're uncomfortable in doing, it will allow you to grow. Number three, look for ways to proactively and positively love your spouse through your service. What is it that you know your spouse enjoys that you would call service that you really enjoyed as well? Why don't you do more of that? Why don't you let that become a ministering gift that you can make available to your spouse? Number four, for ways to proactively and positively love your ministry. Use her as examples. Use him as examples when you're speaking to others and how it has allowed you to move into a form of ministry that you didn't even think about when you became one, when you came together as husband and wife. Look for ways always to apply Ephesians 4:29. How can you edify? See, when you speak words, you want to speak positive words, but sometimes you want to look for a specific edification where you can say conclusively, this is why this person is so special. Look for ways also to love your spouse through gifts. But see, the thing is, and I praise God and I thank God for my wife. We came to this. You don't have to let Walmart and Hallmark and Kmart and all of these other marts determine when you do anything. Every day, 365, 24/7, that's your holiday. You do what you want to do, not what somebody else say you want to do. Let her know, you can expect something from me at all times. I remember, just giving an example, Tammy and I recently, we were took a little time to go together celebrating our 25th anniversary. Something came over me while I was out running around getting some groceries or something. I don't even remember, to be honest. But I had this thing to come over me, and I went in the store, and I just bought her something. She didn't ask me to buy it. I just went in. I'm not saying this to brag on me, but it's a spirit of thing that I'm saying. You just get in the habit of doing certain things, and you make a holiday any day. And that's what we did. We made a holiday any day. We expanded what we were doing at that time. Now, this is the last one, and this sometimes is a little bit difficult to understand. But number seven, be confrontational without being confrontational. And this requires advanced maturity to where you are willing to know and understand what you're going to do is going to be confrontational. Cannot allow it to be confrontational. It takes great talent to get to this level. But those are the things that I would suggest, we would suggest, that you give consideration to, that you learn to leverage, that when you come together as one, there's a lot of advantages that you have at your disposal. Now, then we went over that kind of fast. Go back and listen to it in the archives once again. I'm going to ask my queen to come back just briefly. Got a couple of minutes. Say whatever God has placed on the spirit, and then pray us out for this evening. But we hope you had a great day today, and may God continue to bless you in all that you do. Queen, your mic is open.
Amen, Jesse. There was a lot of information that was shared tonight, and I do hope and pray that we do have individuals that do go back and re-listen to it if they didn't get everything that they needed to get in writing down so they can continue to study to show themselves approved. Thank God as always for all of those that made their way tonight. Wishing each and every one a very happy Valentine's evening. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your spouse to be. And we just thank God once again for each and every one of you. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you once again for your grace and your mercy and for allowing us to share through transparency tonight. Just thanking you, Lord God, that we got to understand and know the importance, Father, of how to leverage the accomplishments of oneness in our marriage. And I just pray that we all master this and we all understand what we need to do. Thank you as always for this wonderful man of God that continues to share through transparency and always being a blessing to all of those that he comes in contact with. Just want to pray a special prayer for Minister Leah Killings as she brings her word forward tonight. We know that she always brings her studies through simplicity and understanding as she teaches. We pray, Lord God, that her listening audience will all be able to receive a word in season from her, and we pray that you remove her from self and take over her mouthpiece and let her share, Lord God, where she is a blessing to others. Thank you once again for this privilege and the opportunity that you provided us to be able to share as well. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Agape love.